Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Josiah Smeltzer Show. I'm excited to be back with you all. Hope the week has started off good for you. And I really appreciate all the comments that I have received from you about last week's episode with Edwin Ariave. That interview really impacted me a lot. I got so much value out of sitting down with him and talking through his story. And man, I learned so much, and I'm so happy that episode really connected and provided value for you as well. Today, we are going to go through my notes on Atomic Habits by James Clear. This is one of the best books that I've read over the last few years. I have an app called Headway that provides 15-minute book summaries that I'm going through, and that allows me to tear through so many books. And as I'm going through these, some of these I'm taking notes and doing these episodes from. So let's dive into this one. I think this episode is really going to help you identify both bad habits you may have in your life and good habits that you need in your life that we can help you implement to reach the goals and become the person that you want to be, right? We're all on a journey trying to be the best we can be, and having the right habits in your life will help you make that possible. Before we dive in, make sure and like this episode wherever you are listening. And also, if you have not, it would mean a lot to me if you would take a second and leave me a podcast review. That helps others find this podcast. I'm doing this to try to impact and help people. And this is kind of one way to give back for me. I'm working through this stuff myself as I'm trying to become a better entrepreneur. And may as well share it, right? We're all going in the same direction. I want each one of you to reach your goals and be successful. So you can help me accomplish that mission by liking the episode, leaving me a 5-star review if you feel like it deserves that. And I really do appreciate that. Now let's dive in. So this book is Atomic Habits by James Clear. My first bullet point: good habits produce results that multiply rapidly, just like money that grows through compound interest. Compound interest changed my life through my real estate investing experiences. I mean, it's amazing when you get 20% on your investments year after year. I think I remember that's what Warren Buffett has gotten over his career on his portfolio. It was like 21% or something. Became the wealthiest man in the world by getting year after year 21% on his investments. So apply that to the habits in your life. You know, if you got 21% better every year at what you do, you would be an absolute animal at your job. 21% doesn't sound like that much, right? But that is actually significant when it builds on itself year after year through compounding. So good habits produce results that multiply rapidly. So how do we get good habits in our life? That's the question. You can apply compounding to many things, such as productivity. Automation of tasks free us up to work on more important things. Automation of tasks free us up to work on more important things. What can you automate in your life that would free you up to do the more important things? Are you walking to the printer 15 times a day at work when you could print everything at once somehow? That's a silly example, but it's little stuff like that steals our time and steals our focus, right? What are you doing every day that's taking time that you could automate? Try automating that thing tomorrow or today and it's letting it free up some extra time for you to work on something more important. All right, next bullet point. leverage the compounding ability of knowledge by being a lifelong learner. I'm huge on this, and this is why I'm working through this app that I'm currently using, Headway, and going through so many of these books, because I love working on mindset, on overcoming limiting beliefs, reaching that next level. That's what this whole podcast is about. And you must leverage the compound ability of knowledge by being a lifelong learner. Embrace being a lifelong learner. Embrace learning new things, constantly leveling up at what you're doing. Negative things also compound. Here's an example. Extended periods of stress can compound into health issues. Negative things can also compound. Extended periods of stress can compound into health issues. If you're super stressed out all the time, are you healthy? You probably have high blood pressure. You're probably stress eating or drinking. You're probably not in a good mood around your family. How can we eliminate or minimize that stressor to get healthier mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally? What can you do to change how much you're being stressed by that thing? And for many of us, the stressor is something that we're choosing to do. It's not something we have to do. I mean, obviously, one stressor in your life may be your work, and maybe there's someone you work with that stresses you out. Well, how can you interact with them in a way that's less stressful? Is there a way to continue to be productive and work with them while not being as stressed around them? Maybe it's having shorter conversations with them. You know, maybe it's getting your work done early and submitting what you need to them so you don't have to go sit in an hour-long meeting or something. I don't know. Figure out a way to minimize that stressor in your life. I think back on my own life, and a good example of this was, you know, I grew up playing Nintendo and really loving playing video games. I was always outside playing with my friends, but we also loved collecting baseball cards and basketball cards, and then we loved playing Nintendo, right? So as I got older, I found a game called PUBG, which was, it was a like a war game, and it's last man standing wins the game. So you start with 100 players, it's every man for himself, and the last guy alive wins the game. Well, this game would last an hour or two when I was playing it, and you know, only one person wins, and it's extremely competitive. You got these professional gamers on there that are just insanely good at this. Well, I get so competitive and determined when I have something I want to do that this actually became a major stressor in my life, because I was playing this so much to win that it was stressing me out. I was staying up too late. I wasn't getting enough sleep. My blood pressure was too high. I was eating poorly. I wasn't exercising enough. And so I gained weight. I was on blood pressure medicine, all this stuff. And you're like, wow, that seems so silly. Well, I mean, we all have things like this in our life that they start as something that's maybe fun or small in your daily routine, and they sneak up on you. I didn't plan on that being the case. I just played the game with a friend once thinking that, hey, this would be fun. And then I got really, really, really into it. One way I improved my life was deciding to get rid of that game. Now, it wasn't as easy as just getting rid of the game. I got rid of the entire system. I got rid of my entire Xbox. I'm not telling you to go get rid of your Xbox or what you should remove from your life, but I knew for me that having that stressor, having that temptation sitting there whenever I had downtime and flexible time, it's so easy just to say, I'm just going to play a game, go throw it on and spend the next 2 to 4 hours playing the super stressful game. So I just decided to not only, you know, remove the game, but remove the entire Xbox. And that was a great positive move for me. So that was a long example, but let's move on to the next point. Well, and I'll also finish that point up by saying this. Since I have removed that, playing that game, I started working out more. I started getting more sleep, and I've lost 55 pounds while lifting 3 to 5 times a week, being in the gym 5 times a week. So I've lost body fat, my blood, I've gotten off blood pressure medication. I'm so much healthier. I'm way less stressed. Blood pressure is down, and I feel better about my life. So I had to make that, I had to remove that negative habit from my life to become the person that I want to be. I didn't want to be that kind of person. And I realized that this thing I enjoy is actually having a negative effect on me, and I have to remove it. So what like that is in your life that you need to remove? All right, next bullet point. Be aware of the negative thoughts you have and replace them with positivity and thoughts that will build you into the person you want to be. What negative thoughts do you have that you need to replace with positivity? It may be something that you received as a child in passing from someone that has stuck with you, that's a lie that is in your life about you and your value. Maybe when you were a kid, you were slightly overweight and someone made fun of you, called you fat. And now, even as an adult, you are in shape, but you carry that label around that you are overweight because of what was said to you. How can we identify those things in our life that are negative thoughts and replace them with positivity? One way in that situation would be to identify that you are not overweight, you are not fat, you are in shape, and you pride yourself in being in shape, and to meditate daily on the fact that you are a fit person. So one way to change your mind about who you are or the message you are playing yourself is to spend time meditating on that. So one thing I've been doing lately from another book I read is daily, as I'm falling asleep or as I'm waking up or even just sitting down in total silence, I'll take a few minutes and I will meditate on a few sentences about something I want my subconscious to carry with me and I want to believe and I want to live and act from. So an example for this would be, you know, some breathing exercises, eyes closed, still, and taking the thought of, I am a fit person. I make healthy choices. I pride myself in being in shape. I am a fit person. I make healthy choices. I pride myself with being in shape. Day in and day out, as you rehearse that to yourself, that label you received as a child will be removed, and the new label, the new message that you have for yourself will replace that, and you will start seeing benefit from that. So I challenge each of you to think through what negative labels or thoughts you have and replace them with positivity and things that will build you into the person you want to be. Some of us have labels that we received that are not even close to true. Some of us received things when we were kids that were true that have also changed. No one's perfect. So let's say you did something that was the wrong thing and someone put a label on you for that. That's not who you are. That's just something you did. So you're going to have to rewire yourself on that stuff. All right, next bullet point. Small changes appear insignificant until they reach a tipping point. This threshold is called the plateau of latent potential. We must be patient to see the results we want. This is so true with anything. This was very true with my real estate business when I was building my real estate business. We were making small progress, and it appeared insignificant for years. I mean, we worked, I talk about this all the time, but we worked tirelessly for 5 years without taking a penny of profit out of that business. And now it's bringing in multiple seven figures a year in revenue. So small changes appear insignificant until you get to that tipping point. It's the same with your business. Keep pushing. The small changes are making a difference. You just may not see the result for a little bit. But don't fool yourself. Those small changes are stacking up. Next bullet point, and this is a huge one from this book. A daily improvement of 1% leaves you 37 times better at the end of the year. 37 times better. That's insane. A daily improvement of 1% leaves you 37 times better at the end of the year. And this also works for a daily regression in behavior, something negative, that'll leave you 37 times worse. So let's make the 1% improvement daily and be 37 times better in the next 12 months. Next bullet point. It isn't easy building good habits or breaking bad habits, but it is possible. Create a system to help you accomplish your goals. An example, if you want to lose 30 pounds, how are you going to accomplish that goal? A system you could create is going to the gym first thing every day and cooking at home to cut carbs and focus on increasing protein intake. If you don't create a system, but instead just don't eat enough to lose the weight, you're more than likely going to gain the weight back as there's no systemic habits that have changed in your life. So in order to see lasting change, we have to create a system and implement a lasting habit in our life. So for me, this gym example is precisely what I did. I wanted to lose weight, so I changed what I ate. I changed when I ate. I stopped eating after dinner, and I stopped eating 5 hours before bed. And I also started going to the gym first thing in the day, every day, and that made a massive impact. So I've changed the system of what I was doing. I carved out time first thing in the day, every day, to go to the gym. Non-negotiable, I'm going to the gym, rain or shine, sleepy or awake, I'm going, and I'm going to get this workout in. So I've changed who I was in that process. It wasn't a fad diet, and the goal is to keep the weight off, right? To become a different person in the process. All right, next bullet point. Changing who you are is more important than focusing on your goal because it makes the change sustainable. So we just talked about this with the gym example. You have to change who you are if you want lasting, sustainable change in your life. Just doing something for a week or a month is not going to make a sustainable change. It has to be changing who you are in the process. And that's the goal anyway. You want the change to be long-term. You don't want it to just be here and then gone, and then you're wasting your time. So two reasons for the difficulties we face in changing our habits are, one, we try to change the wrong things, and two, we try to change things the wrong way. We try to change the wrong things, and we try to change things the wrong way. So in the gym example, if I want to lose weight, but I don't stop eating bad, and I just start going to the gym once or twice a week, but my diet is still terrible, and when I walk in the gym, I'm spending 10 minutes walking around talking, and I do one set of curls, and then I head back to the house, I have changed the wrong thing because I haven't changed my diet, and I have not changed the way I'm doing things, which is the workout routine, in the correct way either. So I'm not going to get the results I want. So not only do you have to desire change, you have to implement the proper way to change the things that are wrong to see those results. Next bullet point. Character change should be your focus, not achievement. So you have to change who you are and not just have a goal. Who you are is more important than what you do. This is huge. If a habit becomes part of your personality, the chances of you maintaining it are much higher. So if I am a person that exercises daily, and I'm not just a person trying to lose 20 pounds, I have a better chance of losing 20 pounds because I've changed who I am. So who you are is more important than what you do. So take some time to think about who you want to be and then ask yourself what you must do to become that person. Who do you want to be? And what do you need to do to get there? Your beliefs form throughout your life, and you don't have much power over them in childhood and adolescence. So we are influenced by our environments, including parents, school, friends, media, social media, etc. But as adults, we can remove the beliefs that we don't benefit from. For example, I am not good at math. We can remove that message and leave those that do benefit us. What beliefs do you need to remove about yourself? Maybe a belief you have is, I don't like exercising. Well, maybe that's a message you've told yourself because you have not been doing the exercise that you find to be enjoyable. Maybe you need to be playing basketball, or you need to be playing racquetball or pickleball or something, which you would have fun with, and then you're also exercising. And that is an example of habit stacking. Instead of just getting cardio, maybe you could spend time with friends, which boosts morale, and get your cardio in and form a new habit around exercise. Next bullet point. If you put your values in the driver's seat, your results will align with your beliefs. So important. So important. We have to put our values in the driver's seat of what we're doing, because if we're not living by our values and we're getting a result, we're not going to like the result we get, right? Like, if you believe strongly that you shouldn't be drinking, but you're working in a bar and you're helping people drink too much on a regular basis, and that's influencing your view on whether you should be drinking or not, that's a place that you don't need to be putting yourself, because it's not going to be healthy for you to be in that environment. That's next bullet point. If a habit makes you feel good, make it a part of your routine. A great example of this is working out. It makes you feel great after you work out. So, put that in your routine. Put healthy, positive things in your routine that make you feel good. Next bullet point. The habit loop explains all habits are formed in a four-stage procedure. There's a cue, there's a craving, there's a response, and there's a reward. So we have cue, craving, response, and reward. The cue urges the brain to elicit a behavior. Once the cue is triggered, you crave the behavior. You then respond to the craving and receive the reward you desire. To create good habits, you can adopt four principles of behavior change. So this is how you create a good habit. There's four principles of behavior change. Number one, you make it clear. Number two, you make it enticing. Number three, make it simple. And number four, make it enjoyable. And you can also invert this to make bad habits disappear by making it unattractive, difficult, and unrewarding. Making it unrewarding. I think I left one off there, but I don't see that. But to create good habits, we want to make it clear, make it enticing, make it simple, and enjoyable. Next bullet point, you need to become aware of your habits because behavior change starts with awareness. So what habits do I want? What habits do I need to remove from my life? And what good habits do I currently have that I want to improve? That's where it starts. If you're not willing to analyze your current habits, then you're not going to get anywhere with this. All right. Next, you can train your brain to automate good habits so you don't have to pay attention to what you're doing. Everyone has been driving somewhere and realized 10 minutes later that they just drove from their house to work and didn't even think about it, any part of it. They were kind of on autopilot. You can train your brain to also automate your good habits. So let's say in the morning, you love drinking coffee. And let's say a new goal of yours is to, you know, cover more self-improvement, self-help type material like we're going through right now. Well, in the morning, when you get up, you make your coffee, you go sit down, you put your headphones on, and you go through one new book on Headway. And you automate this to where every day, this is the first thing you do, come rain or shine, this is part of your waking up routine. You want to automate that habit to where it's like, I don't even think about doing this. I get my coffee. The second I get my coffee, I've got the app on and I'm listening to the book. It can work the same for any other habit that you want in your life. Okay, next point. The two most important cues for your creating and maintaining wanted habits are time and location. The two most important cues, time and location. A good example, I will do this behavior at this time in this location. This is called implementation strategy. So I will do this behavior at this time in this location. So example, I will work out at the YMCA, you know, near my home at 1 p.m. today. You want to have the behavior mapped out, the location, and the time. And that's going to help you create the habits that you need. If you just say, I want to work out this week, but you don't identify when you're going to do it, where you're going to do it, then it's much less likely to happen. Next point, habit stacking helps you learn new habits by attaching them to existing ones. An example would be, you want to listen to more podcasts to help you reach your goal in some certain area, and you're driving to work every day. Well, a habit stack would be, since you're already driving to work, listen to your podcast episode while you drive. That's a way to implement that new habit and get more value out of that time you have. Next point, your environment often leads you to make choices that betray your identity. For example, you want to quit smoking, but you're hanging around people that smoke, making it challenging for you to not smoke when you're stressed. You know, it works the same for drinking. Like, let's say you had an issue with drinking in your life where you drank too much on a regular basis, but you're still hanging around people that party and you know, drink too much. Like, is that the best environment to put yourself in? It's that environment is betraying the identity that you want to have. You're going to have to make some tough choices about curating the environment that you're in to help yourself create the habits that you want to have. So if you don't want to smoke, spend less time around smokers. Try to spend no time around smokers. If you've got, if let's say in your family, you don't want to smoke, but your parents smoke. Well, you don't want to cut your parents out of your life. You just probably need to spend less time around them when they're smoking and tell them like, hey, I don't want to smoke and I'd love to be around you when you're not smoking. You know, do me a solid and help me with this, you know? And sometimes, you know, in the drinking example, sometimes you got to choose some new friends. You got to put yourself in a healthier environment so you're not around that temptation that can be dragging you down. All right, next bullet point. Create an environment where you see what you want to see. A habit can become enticing if it has the right visual cues. An example, you want to lose 30 pounds. Put a picture of you when you were your goal weight up at your desk at work so you can see it every day, or on your mirror when you get up in the morning. And it will remind you to persevere to your goal. If you're wanting to lose 30 pounds, you may not want to be binge watching Man versus Food if you're cutting carbs and struggling with weight loss. Like, surround yourself with positive things that are going to help you reach that goal. Next bullet point. Scientists have found that people with high self-control have designed their lives to avoid cues that make them lose control. Design your life around your goals so you don't have these temptations around you, right? If you're trying to lose weight, don't keep a bag of M&Ms sitting on the counter at home. Like, that's too tempting, right? Maybe you have to get rid of M&Ms from your house. You can't have that stuff in your pantry. What do you need to remove from your life and your surroundings to help you accomplish and form the habits that you need and reach the goals that you want to reach? Are you watching too much TV? Maybe you don't need to have a TV in your bedroom. Maybe you don't need to have a TV in your house. Maybe you don't need to have cable. I mean, each person knows themselves well enough to know what they need to take out of their life to be the person they need to be. Next bullet point. Optimize your environment to save your willpower for when it is needed. This includes the online world and social media. Man, I could talk for so long about this bullet point. I've started getting on social media less because of the energy it takes out of me just maintaining it all. Responding to messages, doing posts, liking other people's posts, reposting things, you know, curating comments on YouTube, you know, all the stuff that goes into it, it can take a lot of energy out of you. So you have to make sure that you're optimizing your environment to save your willpower for when it's needed. I need my willpower to be the highest for when I'm doing the most important things in my day. So if social media takes a lot of energy out of me, I need not to be doing that stuff in the morning when I'm working on my most important task. So optimize your environment to save your willpower. You could also apply this to the weight loss example or accomplishing any other goal you have. Next bullet point. Frequency is more important than duration when it comes to habit forming. Frequency is more important than duration when it comes to habit forming. So with the gym example, it's more important that I go to the gym 5 times this week than it is that I go for an hour a day 5 times. To form the habit, you're going to be better off going over there and making it a goal the first day to go in there and work out for 5 minutes. It sounds silly. 5 minutes, what's that going to do? Well, it's not going to do a ton for you on the exercise front, but it's going to do a ton for you mentally with your habit forming, because now you went. And then that 5 minutes, the next time is 10 minutes. And then the next time is 15. The next time is 20 minutes. Next time is 30 minutes. And then before you know it, you're going, you've automated that habit, and you actually enjoy it. And then one day you miss and you feel miserable. And that's what we're shooting for. We're shooting for getting that positive habit to become automated, where you miss it if you don't have it. All right, next bullet point. Apply the 2-minute rule to your habits. Each new habit shouldn't take more than 2 minutes when you start. The time should increase after you've mastered it. All right, so with the gym example, you know, I want to start going to the gym 5 times a week. Okay, well, let's try this week to go Monday to just get over there and let's try lifting for 2 minutes. That sounds so silly, but try it for a week, get over there and lift for 2 minutes, five times. That's not going to kill you. And then next week, we can start increasing the time after we've gone 5 days. Next bullet point. Dopamine is a powerful habit former as we crave the feeling good that comes from it. Make sure your dopamine responses are coming from the right stimuli. Good stimuli, exercise, gives you dopamine response. You feel great after you exercise. Bad stimulus, dopamine comes from playing stressful video games like I did for too long. A lot of dopamine, a lot of adrenaline, but also had me not sleeping enough, eating poorly, high blood pressure, all that. Not good for me, right? Make sure you protect your body and your mind with having the right stimuli be giving that dopamine that makes you feel great. And the last bullet point. Habits change when you commit to getting 1% better every day. They stack and form great progress towards our goals. Creating systems is the way to make your habits stick and make sustainable, life-changing impact. So let's try to get 1% better every day. That'll get us 37 times better per year. And we're going to create systems to make our habits stick and make sustainable change, because it's about who you are that will make this happen. You got to change who you are. This isn't a fad diet and then the weight's being gained back. We're going to change who we are in the process, and that will get us to our goals. I'm going to end with a prayer. I want to tell you all that I love you and I appreciate you listening to this. Let's pray, and then we'll end this episode. God, help each person listening to this to be able to identify some negative habits in their life that they can eliminate, and identify some habits that they've been wanting to put into their life that they can implement and take action on those things. Help us to be the people that you have created us to be, that we can honor you with our life and bless others with the gifts you've given us. Bless each person listening to this. Help those that are struggling. Give them courage. Give them joy and give them peace. We love you, God. Pray this through Jesus. Amen. See you next time, folks.